Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, it's the One Show Show. I'm John Holmes, and this is part two of this week's edition, which we'll pick up momentarily, and in all honesty, for the first few moments, utterly bafflingly, where part one of this ep left off. If you haven't heard part one, why not go back so that this part two makes sense? Please subscribe and rate and review too, and I ask that because I'm very needy. Exactly where we left off yesterday then. This is the One Show Show, and my guests on the One Show Show stained sofa this week, Jake Yap and Lizzie Roper. There was then a film about gender stereotyping in adverts.
Oh, that's right. And the third rudery of the week.
Yes.
When Sally Phillips.
Yes. I've got this.
Sally
one.
Phillips pointed out that the woman was making a wanking hand.
Yes. Yes.
And also, very skillfully pointed it out without saying wanking, unlike myself.
And brilliant was just, she was just about to basically say blowjob. Yeah. And then she said, I wrote it down, she said, I'm not going to empty my mind on this show.
They were advertising this new screw top, right, for wine. This was in magazines in the US, okay? So that's the picture. You mean a blank question mark. Look at her face.
She's doing that I'm not going to empty my mind on this show.
That's a classy way.
This was part of a competition. So they had this thing about gender stereotyping in adverts because advertising has said this week that those days are gone. So the days of the woman suggestively sucking a flake, the days of the mum's gone to Iceland, no, because anyone could go to Iceland. Yeah.
Well, anyone can identify as a mum now.
That's
so
exactly
actually,
right.
Maybe it's okay.
It is. It's come full circle. There was one with Weetabix advert they showed where a boy was a superhero and a girl was a ballerina. Yeah. And I thought, well, I don't know that that's sexist because
that's because you're a dinosaur, John.
That's right. Yeah. But you know,
and a male dinosaur.
She wasn't washing up while he was being a superhero.
No,
she was being
a ballerina.
Being a
ballerina, and he was still being a thing. No, if he'd been the ballerina, and then we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, that's the future.
Yeah. You know, the last time I was on this podcast, you were talking about Chinese accents. Let's not.
I could do that again.
No, let's not. Let's absolutely not.
Because I still don't see why you can't do it.
And it was amazing because they tracked down the shaken back.
Woman.
She tracked down the shaken back woman. She sort of said, well, what's wrong with a pretty girl whipping her top off for a hardworking man in a newspaper?
And then when they got back to the woman, they were saying, well, no, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the shaken back advert because it is just it's just any old person who's happening to enjoy cleaning the carpet. So why did you dig her out of the hole in the wall in the first place?
This then led into this competition, didn't it, of old adverts, even older adverts from the 50s, posters mainly.
So we've all seen the memes on Facebook.
We have, and they have to fill in the missing word.
Oh, my God.
And it was fraught with danger for live television, hence the Sally Phillips. Save, really. But the first one was
blow in her face and she'll
follow you anywhere.
That was the answer.
Come like it. Yeah,
it's not what we all shouted at the television, was it? No. Can you remember the other ones?
You start us off.
Give her a Hoover and she'll suck you off.
No, wasn't it.
A Hoover for Christmas. Give her a Hoover.
Yeah, something to. Christmas morning, blank with a Hoover.
That's right.
Surprise her.
Fuck her with a Hoover.
Sexist, Jake. You can also fuck him with a Hoover now. Or however they want to identify.
Yeah, what was it then?
With a Hoover. It was She'll Be Happier With a Hoover.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, there you go. Yeah.
And so will he.
Yeah. So they did. So they went through all that. But, they, you know, it was a bit live
telly
testing.
But they'd already started on the worst cul-de-sac with Sally and Ronnie in the opening bit when they went, oh, your film's being compared to Downton Abbey and...
Fatal Attraction.
And Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
And it was such a bunch of non-versation. There was nowhere to go on that. And he just kept... They kept rambling.
Sally, they are describing this film as Fatal Attraction meets Downton Abbey, which is a weird combination. Well, it's the
guy. I would say they're badly describing it as Fatal Abbey meets... Yes. Well, I can't even imagine what Fatal Abbey meets...
No, I know.
Well, like a bunny being boiled in a ballroom.
My mind boggles when you say Fatal Attraction meets Downton Abbey, imagining Glenn Close sort of stabbing things and coming out of the bath and Maggie Smith...
Yeah, that's in the sequel.
So how would you describe it then? And what do you want to say about it?
The reason he probably says Downton Abbey is that it's, you know,
well,
if you imagine...
No, it's
the
not really, but no, but what if it was Downton... No, can we just end it now? You're supposed to be the professionals here. Don't even take us down this.
There was an excellent off-the-shelf film, though, following this, where... Sometimes there are pointless one-show films, and then there are really, really... Why have you done that? Arthur Smith.
Oh! No, this was the highlight of my week! I loved it!
Arthur Smith. what was it? The Road Traffic Management Awards?
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's one of those, you know, when you're working regional radio and you get all the PR things from...
On the fax machine.
Yeah, you're like, oh, God, I know you've had to send that out because that's your department, but there's nothing we can do with that. So thank God for the one show.
And he was,
because I love the inventions.
He was trying to get excited, wasn't he, poor Arthur, about whether or not Road Markings of the Year would be, you know, innovation in cat's eye technology.
Yeah.
And Arthur, you know, quite a sarcastic man. And he was taking it one show serious. He has to play the...
Yeah, it's quite earnest.
But I just wrote, this film is shit. And it wasn't Arthur's fault. He was doing his best with it.
I didn't think it was shit. I thought it was great.
Apparently so, yeah.
I thought the whole Arthur knew exactly what he was doing with it. And I did enjoy the inventions. There was all sorts of clever stuff going on. The only thing that was dull, that he had to speak to the representatives of the companies. He's like, you're not going to get anything out.
We've had over 100 nominees this year. That's been whittled down to 40 finalists and 13 winners.
And who decides the winners?
The judges are independent panel of experts representing all the sectors in the industry.
It didn't warrant television.
It was. It felt like you'd gone to stay in a hotel where there was this function going on at the main hall and people were sort of spilling out and you were just catching snatches of conversation.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And there was nothing pleasurable about it. And they should have called the awards the Bollards.
So...
Can I just dominate?
Is this because... about the hurting again?
No, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean that to happen. Oh, God. And
he's destroying the studio.
Again. I'm not on cocaine. The amazing thing for me, because I don't generally watch TV at that time, because it's generally the time I put my little boy to bed and stuff. And so there's a continuity. It's fascinating. Like on Tuesday, the continuity announcement before the one show says, I'm Anthony, I'm here to guide you through this evening. I'm sorry. You're supposed to be like a faceless, nameless mystery thing. You're not Anthony.
Yeah. They've started doing this.
TGI Fridays. You should have, has he got braces with badges on?
They started doing this recently.
Yeah. And on BBC, on the Monday, first of all, I hadn't seen the new BBC iDents where they have this thing which says BBC One-ness. Where they're trying to find words with one in. Like, I can't remember what the word was.
Wonka.
Well, I had Lonely, Pwned and Bono were the only ones I could think of that they could have done. And then he says, in half an hour, EastEnders, and all Alfie wants for Christmas is cat. And I'm thinking, try turkey.
You're thinking that? What happened to you if you were a vegan a minute ago?
Oh, but I don't think...
There are limits, yeah.
Handbrake turn of the week. You said you struggled at first, but one popped up. This is the section, of course, where part of the show lurches awkwardly to the next part of the show.
It was on Monday. Bruno Tognoli has been having a funny chat with quite ill-briefed, because he doesn't know that Matt Baker didn't win.
Even though he must have been on the judging panel.
Yeah, of course he was.
Yeah.
But
he also didn't seem to know how television works, because he just kept talking randomly about... At one point, five people were talking. It's a bit like a podcast. Yeah. Five people were talking. You couldn't hear a word any of them were saying.
Yeah. But anyway, they're having a great time and, we're all talking. And Matt Baker says, it's chaos here. Let's put a film on. 20 seconds later, I was stabbed 10 times and I thought, I'm losing so much blood, I'm going to die.
It's descending into chaos, is what it is. Anyway, let's put a film on. Okay, we're going to start tonight with the story of a father who has taken his love of music and turned it into a personal crusade for change.
When you hear police actually at your door and they're actually telling you to prepare for the worst, yeah, sobering.
I've written down the exact same one. Yes.
Yeah. They've got smart. They've got wires to this, haven't they? And then there's like a buffer where a bit of music plays and there's a defocused sort of background and a title comes on.
That's right. Yeah.
They're getting wires to this. They're putting buffers in here.
Yeah. They're trying. That's exactly what they're trying to do. But it was still awkward because all you could see here out of shot was Tony Elley snorting with laughter.
Yes.
I think this is the felching moment,
and I couldn't work out from the felch if they were laughing at felch. You have to listen to it.
well, we've heard a clip.
He's not fully au fait with the idea,
it was a moment where they were just, you got a snorting dancer, and then as you said, 20 seconds later, a boy who's been stabbed 10 times and had a colostomy bag. Let's mention the we touched on it, but the locksmith film.
Picky, licky, knocky, nicky.
Because this was a perfect example.
Lizzie's gone.
He comes to us all about this.
I'm a little tiny German boy, and I just like the click when it clicks. Oh, yeah.
Talking about your pelvis.
Yeah.
I think he was Australian, but let's not.
Oh, no, I thought he was very much in Z camp.
Inside this building are the world's best lockpickers, who meet every year to go head-to-head in a lockpicking championship.
So how long have you both been picking locks, then?
Well, about 2 years.
What do you enjoy about it the most?
Oh, I like the click when they pop, because I was just watching telly and I was picking this lock, but knowing that no one picked, and I picked it, and I sort of heard that noise, and it felt sort of like victory.
What a great thing! A room full of odd men... and a child picking locks in a competitive spirit.
It was so off the shelf. Could have happened at any time, though, wasn't it?
And it did. It happened in the summer, didn't
it?
It
did, clearly, yeah. And they'd just gone, I got put 2 minutes at the end. Let's stick that film on.
I want to see the phone call. I want to see, bring, bring, bring. Oh, hi, Christine. We're just wondering, would you like to go and look at a lock picker? All right, well, I've taken the dahlias out of the ground. Yeah, I'm all yours.
It wasn't the end of it, because then they went back to the studio. This was a minute and a half before the show had to end, where they chose to introduce an escapologist. Did you see him?
Chris Cross, who didn't write Arthur. He had bloody eyeliner on and he was the wrong age.
Yeah, not Christopher Cross, but a man.
That made me very cross.
A man.
And Chris.
With a couple of minutes to go, who they said... So you watched the lock-picking film. You're an escapologist. What did you make of it? Because you like Houdini. It was like, what are you doing? What's this? What you? I mean, really, you could have just strung the goodbyes out and this would have covered the end of the programme. You didn't need this.
You didn't need a tramp with eyeliner.
Poor Joe Lycett staring quite excitedly, I thought. He got a floppy rope, this man, and he did a magic trick where he touched it. It all went stiff. And little Joe's eyes lit up.
How about you then? How did you get into it?
Oh, well, how do I get out of it? There you go.
Lovely.
Well, I started doing magic tricks when I was a kid, just have things like this. So there's a piece of string here, a large piece of rope. Yeah. Go on, sweetheart, you blow on the rope. And you see how you hypnotise it just like that?
Yeah.
Don't stop.
I need that trick. Yeah.
And then he did something disgusting with his arms. It was disgusting.
Oh, I missed that. I was in the toilet still.
He did. He was. He twisted his arms in front and pulled them around his back. So, but I was like, just give me Joe Lycett. Joe Lycett was savagely underused on that program.
He was. That whole Brexit thing. Yeah. He just stood at the side. But he did turn out. His painting of Brexit, by the way, we should point out, was a picture of an egg with With Boris Johnson's face.
It was perfect. It was so perfect.
Amazing.
So he did pull it back in the end.
And here's right. Boris.
Calm down.
Hi guys, it's Angelos Epifemio here, telling you to please listen to the Brian and Roger podcast. Now, I don't know who's written it, but whoever it is probably a genius. So I think you should give it a listen because it's such great stuff.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
It was. I don't know. I mean, you watched some of Thursdays as well, I think, didn't you? As well, Thursdays. Yes. I only sort of briefly touched on Thursdays. I
genuinely thought that Daft Limmy was coming on because Alex Jones opening link. She said today it's all about Limmy's.
But first, let's say hello to tonight's guests. Now, they're the stars of the biggest blockbuster on telly this Christmas. Forget about The Bodyguard and Killing Eve and The Informer, because now it's all about Limmy's.
And then I realised she's saying Les Miserables. All the way through, but her and Matt sort of struggled with the pronunciation of Matt Bacon called it Le Miserable.
Just be done with it and call it the Glums, like the whole of the West End Wendy community do.
It was they had the two of the stars, and if you struggle with Le Miserable, how he got David Ayoberello out of his mouth.
Hello.
I've got no
idea. But you know who Lily Collins is?
Who?
From the ball bag of Phil Collins. She's his daughter.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Which ball? Oh.
The actress Lily Collins.
Yes.
Is the spawn of Phil Collins. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Well, I had to Google because I was furious that there was this young actress who had much higher profile than I did. And that's the first thing you learn about her.
Well, that's interesting. And that might explain why there's none of the singing in this.
Well, yeah.
I feel really bad because, I mean, I don't really consume culture at all. I just live in a void watching television programmes on request by podcasts. I'm a celebrity later. So I had no idea who these two actors were. I certainly didn't realise that Lily Collins was half Phil Collins' son. Yeah. And the male actor, I had no idea who he was. So I felt quite indignant when he told me that he owned a self-driving car.
Yes, he does.
This Tesla thing. And they cost like
75 to
100
grand. Oh, he's got an amazing CV on him.
Right. I'm like, who are you to... I've just bought a Morris Minor and I was pretty proud of that as an achievement, but...
Yeah, yes, he's got. There was a film about. Well, this was the opening of the envelope.
I've got another letter here, the one in the envelope that we mentioned earlier. It's a bet for £100 between a dad and his daughter that happened when she was just 11 years old, and it says, Dad said by the time SJ, Sarah Jane, is 28 years old, cars will be able to drive themselves. Sarah Jane said, no, they won't. 17 years on, who was right? Well,
so then they explained what the bet was.
Yeah.
What was
so
the bet?
So you knew what the bet was. So they said, right, they had this bet 20 years ago where the father bet a daughter that there'd be self-driving cars by the time she was old enough to drive, and she was, by the time she was 27 or 28. And so let's find out if he was right. It's like, well, we know.
That there are.
We know there are self-driving cars. Yeah. Like,
but they were talking about in the film of this,
yeah,
which they shot in Coventry at the Transport Museum, which I've been to, and it's very dull. Mm. They were talking about it, and he was going to her. What do you, you know? Do you think there are driverless cars? And I'm shouting at the telly. We're sitting in one.
We know. They were literally sitting in one.
Yeah. He's running over people.
Yeah. In the news. They were literally sitting in one. And so then it gets to the end of the film, and the dad says, "Well, you can't buy them. So I'm going to honour the bet, and I'm going to pay her the 100 quid. And the daughter's like, yes, awesome. They come back off it and say, oh, that's what dads are all about, isn't it? Mm. And then this actor guy goes, well, there are driverless cars. I just bought one.
That's why we love dads, isn't it?
You've got a driverless car, though, haven't you?
I do. I'm not sure about that bet, because my car can drive itself.
Shh.
A Tesla Model X?
Yeah, I was in one on the freeway.
It's legal in America, isn't it?
Is it a legality thing?
So do you... Because I wouldn't fancy it.
Undermining the whole thing! And then they had to say something like, well, this was about Britain.
Yeah, not in this country. Yeah. And there never will be, thanks to Brexit. Other than slave drop.
Next week, the father and daughter who were killed by a driverless car.
That's why they would do that.
Yeah.
The literal handbrake turn caused it to plough into... Now, you remember last week, the father and daughter who had a bet. Well, the bad news is they're both dead. Anyway, here's some badgers. right, is there anything we think we've missed out? Anything we haven't talked about? Because there was plenty of it this week. Jake?
Just very briefly was a couple of things. One was I really liked Sally Phillips at the top of Tuesday's show. Just quietly talk about damning with faint praise. Just said, "You're presenting very well this evening," which I thought was.
Oh yes, because she sometimes presents.
She does. She's sat in the presenter's chair. That's
and
right.
And also, stop the poems. All right. Benjamin Zephyr. So yes, and so it was sport, at which point my mind instantly shut down.
Yes.
About great sporting moments. And stuff.
Monday show, this one.
Yeah, and so they've got Gabby Logan on to talk this thing up. And because Sports Personality of the Year, they're finally realising is an oxymoron.
Yeah.
And so great sporting moments. And she's talking about that. And then they turn to Bruno Tonioli and say, what about you, Bruno? Have you got any great sporting moments? She's like, no, of course I haven't. Like, I don't do that. But then they cut to Benjamin Zephaniah doing a poem. And I like Benjamin Zephaniah
very much, but stop.
Poems, Matt, just not poems, ever poems. Because the whole thing, suddenly it looks like a Nationwide advert.
Yeah.
And they're the worst adverts.
I mean, I'm a fan of a poem. I like a poem.
In its place!
Mm. In its place.
Know your place, poetry!
Back to the trenches!
Thank you!
Yeah. But I like a poem, but I didn't like that. So, yeah.
I like a poem, I didn't like that. No.
I know what I like.
And it ain't that poem. Right. The Brexit, I feel we haven't talked about the Brexit thing and the fact that Five Live took over and how weird it was and it was like two separate programmes. Mm. You know, we have mentioned it, but it was just an odd thing where the One Show have been creeping a Brexit agenda in over the last few weeks and we've talked about it. One, they did a film on the Irish border where a farmer leant on a gate and talked about trade. And then...
Was it like Ali G who was like, if I were to cross over there, I'd be risking my life?
More or less.
Brilliant.
Yeah, because the border as it exists is in his field. He just stood there. Perfect. And then there was a film about stockpiling, this was last week, stockpiling food in cold storage because of Brexit, where they got very excited about Yorkshire puddings.
Have you been stockpiling food yet for Brexit?
No, should I have been?
I've actually started.
Have you? What have you got?
Lentils. You've got lentils hanging out.
Like, capers, sun-dried tomatoes. Well, like European foods that are going to cost a lot of money.
Pasta.
I got very excited.
Genuinely, I've got like 10 kilos of pasta.
I got very excited when you were talking about Aunt Bessie's because I used to be the face of Aunt Bessie's. I was one of the old women.
Really?
I was Mabel.
Do the voice.
Roast potatoes on a Tuesday.
Wow.
So, but having done that...
Well, you're being stockpiled in a warehouse.
Well, I thought...
I thought, having done it for 10 years, that I would be given a lifetime supply of Aunt Bessie's, because everybody assumes that's what I was paid in. But I haven't got a Yorkshire pudding or a...
You have got a nice new kitchen, Lizzie. We've just made a point.
And so in the event of Brexit, eat that. The fact that the ones who are getting involved in Brexit, I mean, you could argue it's a creeping agenda. I don't know. You know, the BBC is surreptitiously feeding us this agenda that conspiracy theorists say they are.
Yeah.
Yes, but if the BBC have got to be fair on, you know, if you we're having a sensible debate about climate change, so let's get a nutter in to talk about it doesn't exist. So where are we going to have the talk about Brexit where somebody says, no, these are all the brilliant things that are going to happen when we have Brexit, because that person does not exist.
Get a passport, such a blue passport. Back, get right, Cliff, don't veer it in. Get back, you pigs and blank. Get back, don't you back, none of fucking croissant shit. We're all the fucking Germans and the fucking high tides and all the fucking dagos and the wops and the spits and all that shit. I'm fucking sick of it, mate. I'm fucking walked out of Oscar Carly, I'm fucking word of English. I'm fucking tired of it. I'm fucking taking back control. You can.
Another clip there from The Hurting on Dave.
I think he's messed himself.
I think he's... Yeah.
Both ends.
Messed you, mate.
Yes.
That's my fucking right as a British man.
Now, the One Show, very excited as they are, almost as excited as Jake about Brexit, are starting... Because they had this audience of people who obviously don't normally watch The One Show at all, including, presumably, viewers of The One Show who then switched off because it's not a film about swans or people marrying their own gnomes. It's not what they're used to. So this whole proper grown-up debate happened.
But I'm wondering, did they pick them as a cross-representation of society the way they do for Question Time?
I don't know.
They were walking outside the BBC Oxford Circus 5 minutes prior to it going
They were
out.
Standing outside Radio 2 trying to get the autograph of Cliff Richards.
But they didn't like Joe Light. They didn't laugh at Joe Lycett's jokes, and he looked very uncomfortable.
That's not how I liked it.
But it was so weird. It was like The One Show suddenly turned into Question Time or something. Yeah. And I didn't know whether this is going to be a future format we can look forward to or perhaps suggest to those of you that are listening. Mm. You know, who would not want to see a sort of hybrid One Show News Night style? I think One Show is produced by the news department anyway. I think it comes out of news, not entertainment, which explains a lot.
Okay.
But it's sort of in our time, you know, it's sort of like you get that sort of, well, we've seen the swans now. So over to, is Lord Mel, a film with Lord Melvin Bragg to chat about the emancipation of the serfs in Russia in 1861. Let's see how he got on.
Yeah. No, it was, it very much felt like there's been a meeting and there's been a sort of, well, this is the national conversation. And we have to reflect that.
Yeah.
So we've got to do Brexit. But let's get a comedian in on the same night just to froth it up a bit.
We don't get a political comedian. Don't get a political comedian.
God, no. Get someone cuddly. What about that nice Joe Lycett?
Yeah, which worked. I mean, fair enough. Light and Lycett and shade is what it was. Did you notice Laura Kunzberg's mixing up of an idiom? There was a bit where she sort of said, that I can't remember what she was referring to, but something she said was going like the clangers.
Wow.
She went like the clangers.
And I was like,
Swanny whistle.
Yeah,
all the way.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, the Brexit, but you know, like in Peanuts, when the adults would come in and talk, and they would throw their heads back and go, it was just white noise.
My favourite bit in that whole thing, which we have, it was this lovely moment where suddenly all the Brexit cast hosts suddenly realised that they were these sort of white privileged people in a position of power.
Yeah.
And they were suddenly sitting opposite the great unwashed, who were sitting there with their arms folded. And they realised that what was between them were two big plates of luxury biscuits. Luxury biscuits!
Whoa!
British biscuits, but luxury biscuits. And self-consciously they said, we've got all the biscuits. We should give them to you. You should have the biscuits.
I think there's another thing, which is why we have all these biscuits on the table.
These are terrific.
Yes.
For balance, I'm going to have one of each.
We pass them around the audience. I feel bad. I think we should pass them after. But the thing is, I think, you know, like, you have all these...
It was literally let them eat cake. It was like... wasn't it?
Cake.
It was a sort of moment of the aristocracy
cake.
Sort
let
of going,
Jaffa cake.
Come on, serfs. Yeah. Come on.
Well, it wasn't even... It was a kind of like, oh, shit. What does this look like when we've got the biscuits and they haven't?
They've got no biscuits. And they've got Joe Lycett doing
the BBC
drawing.
Is so self-conscious and so hobbled by this endless accusation of bias. Too left-wing, too right-wing. Like, constantly that suddenly a plate of biscuits becomes a political issue that could bring about the downfall of the single greatest broadcasting institution in the world.
Oh, that'll do.
And how did Matt Baker bring it all back to the One Show? He just said, well, now we're taking back control.
Hey!
And there it was.
The man's a legend.
That brings us to about the end of this, I think.
Oh, but we haven't discussed the theme tune.
Well, in that case, let's do that. This is the Any Other Business section.
Okay.
So you are at liberty, so Lizzie Roper, to discuss the theme tune.
I've had to really concentrate on the theme tune. And I think that they are, and quite appropriately, it goes, why? Do, 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 why? Do, 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 why? Which makes complete sense of the contents of the programme. Then I thought maybe they were saying five. But I realised...
That's a great idea. The One Show. Five.
But then,
done by committee.
They are saying one, aren't they?
Yes.
But I challenge, listen to it with all your heart.
I think they're shouting Felch.
Can I use my...
they've got terrible diction, those singers. It's why. Why?
Maybe it is. It's a musical joke. Do you want to... I could send you my version of the One Show theme. You
can. Yes.
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, good. Thank you very much.
It's just screaming.
Thank you. Well, we'll play it out. We'll play out. Very good. All right. Now, if you've a moment to review and comment, please do. Thank you very much, guests. Jake Yap. Thank you, Jake Yap. Thank you, Lizzie Roper. Remember this and remember it well. When you look at the television to look at the One Show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.